Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is Death on Big Moose Lake. We're going to talk about a mystery, Brandy.
I love mysteries.
I know you like, I know you do, you're a big fan of mysteries. And we're going to talk about that. You know, now notice the title I gave this episode, Brandy, Death on Big Moose Lake. And I bring that up, as you know, I come up with some very catchy titles to our episode.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, our editor, audio editor, Mr. Walters, he sometimes strays from the title of the episode. I think I had a really cool episode. Remember the episode we did on the woman? It was fucking dead people. Necrophilia episode.
Yeah.
And I had a very clever, I can't remember what the title was, but it was very clever.
So clever.
And,
okay.
And then when it comes out, it's something like riding a big stiffy or something. I don't know what the
It was the long hearse ride, Timmy.
Yeah.
The long ride home. It was like the super tramp. She took the long way home.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
She took the long way home. Now, see, Timmy, I might have the wrong script here because I'm looking at a script about some poor girl named Grace Brown.
Well, that was a working title that you're looking at. So it's Death, Death on Big Moose Lake, if you can kind of
on Big Moose Lake.
Yes.
I'll write that down. I got an assistant with me, Lily. Write that down, please.
And let me ask you something, Chuck. Does your script look like you could read it from space? Because
it does. It's got big font on
there's,
it.
Well, it's huge
font. I've been experimenting with font.
Timmy's playing with his prose and his font.
Wow.
I'm font friendly. Brandy.
I see. You're not a part of
I like to experiment. That's why the script is 98 pages, perhaps. I thought it was a little long.
Perhaps. But. Perhaps not so long. Perhaps it's just that you can only fit one word on a page.
That could be. This is going to be the shortest 12-page script we ever did.
Well, I'm getting older, Colonel. And, you know, the eyes are not working so good. The dick is working. But the eyes is not working so good.
Well, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, that's a problem when the dick works and the eye door. Although it does expand your pool, Timmy. When your eyes don't work good, it does expand the pool.
Perfect. Yeah.
Because, you know, come 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody really cares, you know, what they look like anyway. And as long as that still works, you know, it just, you know what I'm saying, right, Devil? Right, you get what I'm saying.
Because Brandy's been at the bar at 2 in the morning, I'm sure, and you get past last call, and yeah, you need a place to sleep for the night, right, Brandy?
No, I've never needed a place to sleep for the night, but thank you.
Well,
well, as long as the nose still works, that's all you got to worry about. Because when you go into the club, Timmy, what's the first thing you're looking for? Take a big whiff around. You know it, Devil. Come on. The decaying vagina.
Oh, my God.
You want to make sure you ain't in the club with somebody that got decaying vagina. Yeah. That's awesome. Don't matter if you're blind. You know, Ray Charles, he never hit a decaying vagina.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine all the you know, one-eyed women that Ray Charles was with?
He was with Sandy Duncan?
Yeah.
Oh.
Twice.
He banged Sandy Duncan?
Scandalous at the time.
He banged Sandy Duncan?
I don't know.
He did.
She had one eye. He's making that up.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
This is the only place you'll ever hear it.
I think he made
that
up. Well,
they went out for Chinese. No, I didn't. She actually, the story about the one eye, they went out for Chinese food. She said, could you hand me a chopstick? Next thing you know, Sandy Duncan got one eye.
I don't.
Well.
God.
Yeah. It's an American tragedy, kids.
She always reminded me of, she was Peter Pan, wasn't she? Sandy Duncan.
She was. Yeah. But she didn't have a Peter, Timmy.
She reminded me of, Jane Hathaway.
Wasn't Julie Andrews Peter Pan?
No, she was Sound of Music.
Well, I know. I mean, you do recognize that people can do more than one thing, right?
Sandy Duncan was Peter Pan.
Was she? Okay.
Lily, look that up. Look that up, Lily. I got an assistant.
Oh, I didn't. That, well, who is your assistant?
It's Julie Andrews and Peter Pan.
Lillian
it's,
cannot use the
phone. It's Sandy Duncan and Peter Pan and Julie Andrews in the Nazi movie.
Lillian cannot
Lillian.
The car.
Eddie Murphy routine. That was so great.
Okay.
Speaking of decaying vaginas. Oh, come on. We're getting started. People get anxious when we jump into the story too quickly.
They do.
I don't think they
are. People are just getting settled in with their drinks. They figure, I got a few minutes to relax.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
Yeah. You know, they run. They said, let me run to the restroom while my brandy time is on, and then I'll get back to listen to it.
Ah.
When it gets
okay,
good.
But if you're so anxious for this, let's jump right in. You don't need an introduction. Just, well, here's brandy time. Can we just jump into it?
Let me say, going back to the decaying vagina and the...
Oh, good. Going to revisit this.
One time I was in a strip club in Newport.
Oh.
And the girls...
Where all good stories start.
They would do, you know, their lap dance, right? And I happen that... You kind of want one. It's a little crazy because they might take it further than, you know... one who has their wits about them. So
it's hard to find one in that it's got their wits about them, but yeah, go ahead.
Right.
So I was at the Brass Ass. I know, Colonel, you're familiar
Classy.
With the Brass Ass.
Classy.
I am, yeah.
And I was there with somebody's from graduate school, and you know, we were talking about which the girls would be the best for lap dancing and whatnot. And I go for the crazy ones, Brandy. I'm not sure if you knew that about me, or I used to.
That surprises me, Timmy. That surprises me.
I'm glad I was sitting down when you broke that news, but go ahead.
And so there was this young lady named Dolores, a very nice young lady.
Dolores.
And she was, you know, she was... While she was, you know, they come by and sit to get you to buy them a drink, and, you know, and she's like applauding the other dancers and whistling and all that. It's basically acting like a very loud. So I thought, you know, this one would be when it comes time to get the lap dance. This is the private dance. This is the one, you know, because she's had a lot of energy, he's very outgoing. Well, she did something that the other girls, because you can kind of watch when they're doing their private dances. You're not supposed to, but, you know, you can kind of watch. And you want to see kind of what they do, because, you know, when your turn is up, you want to see kind of what they expect. And she had a move that the other girls didn't. She would, you know, sit on the guy's lap facing them and grind and all that. But then she would stand up, and the guy's back would be against the wall. And then she would have her private parts next to the guy's face. Now, when you're sitting behind watching, you couldn't see if she was actually touching the guy's face, but it was in that vicinity, right? So we're, you know, we're drinking. Everyone's, you know, kind of picking their girl to get the private dance with. So I went with Dolores.
Dolores.
And she did that move on me. I'm sitting there. She's, you know, lap dancing right in my lap and all that. And then she gets up to stand. Well, but this time she's like really drunk and she had a hard time like balancing herself. So she actually fell forward.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was all up my face. And at that moment, Colonel, I realized she had a decaying vagina.
Yep.
Oh my
so,
God.
Yep. It's and she was in the beginning stages because normally you can recognize it as soon as you walk into the club.
Well,
so she was just in the beginning phases of it. But God. You know, it's irreversible.
Oh my God.
There's nothing you can do once it starts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it will stop you from growing a penis when you're 40.
Oh, my God.
But.
Well, it would cure you of going to strip clubs. Well,
oh
I don't think
God.
I've been in one since.
Oh, my God. So,
this is a cautionary tale,
the gangrenous guha.
Really? It's gangrenous, yeah. Not gangrenous.
Gangrenous.
Oh, my God.
Gangrenous.
Oh, you were not as close as I were. I was, Brandy. So
no, you're right. I was not. I didn't.
So this well, is a Jimmy, it's
let
a
me, let me
it's
tell
a
you,
cautionary me, tale, Colonel.
Well, I and everybody
let me
is
tell
cautioned.
You about
oh
my
God.
One encounter with the stripper, Timmy.
Okay.
The woman that came to my bachelor party, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
You could roll up a dollar bill, put it on your forehead. She could squat over you. And pick it up.
Oh, she was talented.
Seems like a normal stripper trick to me, but if you want it, if you put a five on there, she could spit out change from that thing, Timmy. She could give you $3 back.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. It was goddamnedest thing I ever seen, Timmy.
You know.
No, she really could. You roll up a dollar bill, put it on your forehead, and I thought, that is not something I want on my forehead. Here, I'll just hand you the goddamn dollar. I'll hand you a $5 bill, but keep that thing off my forehead. I don't want a big boil there tomorrow. So
me and my buddies, when we were in college, we didn't have a lot of money, but we went up to Windsor, Canada. They got some really nice strip clubs in Windsor. And we were paying the girls in loonies, which, by the way, they don't like because the dollar is more – well, at that point, the dollar was more valuable. But you would give them a loony, and they'd look at you like you just spit on them or something, because it was like worth about 65 cents to a dollar at that time.
You know, and you can never tell. When you're new to Canada, you never know when you're getting your change back if they're fucking you or not. Because the loonies, they don't say, you know, this is too loony. Well, something like, it's confusing to me. It's confusing.
Speaking of Canada.
I don't like it.
Speaking of Canada, we had... Mm-hmm. We had a lovely discussion with one of our longtime listeners.
We did. We
two
did.
2 weeks ago. A lady who is just very, very sweet lady. She's been on our Facebook, in our Facebook group for years. And we missed her because she hasn't, she's had some health problems. And she hasn't been able to be as active on the page as she used to be, but she still listens to the podcast, and she still loves everyone in the Facebook group. And we wanted to just mention that we had this lovely conversation with the one and only Shirley Strapp.
She and, did, and you know, Timmy, I made her a promise that I intend to keep, Timmy.
Yeah, and Brandy, did you enjoy your conversation, our conversation with Shirley?
Of course I did, jackass. Why would I not enjoy it? But I also know what's coming, and it does not make me happy.
Well, we made her a promise. First of all, that we would mention that we talked to her, and that we would give we would
and pass along all her good wishes to everybody. She misses everybody.
Yes, and we promised that the Colonel would sing a very special song for Miss Strap, and he's going to do that now. So
she wanted to hear a Bruce song, Timmy. So that tells you what kind of woman this Shirley is. So I picked out this one for Shirley. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. Oh, I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? Can it do to you the things that I do? Oh, no, I can take you higher. Oh, I'm on fire.
Oh, God.
Sometimes it's like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull. And night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire, Shirley.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's like listening to William Shatner when he's doing records.
I'm on fire.
William Shatner.
Oh, I'm on fire.
Well, Colonel, that was a
there you go, Shirley.
A lovely rendition to I'm on Fire by the great Bruce
That was for Shirley. But I believe if you listen, Timmy, what are you hearing, Timmy? What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, it's almost perfection, Colonel. I don't know what to say. Brandy, what's your thoughts on that fine performance?
I was busy trying not to throw up in my mouth.
I apologize to you ladies at work who, you know, had your panties fall down.
Women all over the country now are changing their panties, Colonel.
Nobody's doing that. Nobody.
That's for you, Shirley.
Well, that's very nice, Colonel. It's very soulful, don't you think, Brandy? But we miss you, Shirley, and glad you're still listening, and we'll stay in touch because we all three of us just really loved the conversation, and she probably thought, Jesus, are these people ever going to hang up? Because I think we were on the phone for like an hour, but you know, sometimes it's hard to get Brandy to shut up when she gets going, Colonel.
It is.
As you can imagine, on that phone call, like on this podcast, I barely said anything. So, because there were other people monopolizing the conversation the whole time.
Well, okay, can we jump into Brandy time? Because I know it's going to bore me.
Yes, let's do that. But before we do, let me remind everyone who's, you know, sometimes I get, like, messages from people who want information on the stories that we do and wanting to know where we've got this information and where although we love all of our listeners, and we appreciate that some of you listen because you love true crime. This is a comedy podcast. And so we take certain liberties, Colonel, shall I say.
Liberties is a good word, Timmy. It's a word, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes to make the story more entertaining. Although
this is not something you want to use for your college research.
No. But, if you have questions, I'll be happy to indulge them.
Make up the answers. I'll tell you whatever you want to know about.
There are some really wonderful true crime podcasts out there that they do a lot of research. And by research, I mean like with Already Gone, Nina, she does, you know, she files Freedom of Information Acts, and she goes through police files.
Now, that's just crazy.
Yeah. For us, we don't do that. It's just basically internet research. So if we found it, you can find it.
Right.
But we are a comedy podcast, and sometimes we use adult language. So if adult language offends you, then what we would suggest you do is check out one of the other fine, independently produced true crime podcasts out there, such as...
Well, the other suggestion we make is that you reprioritize your life, Timmy. It's a hellish world out there. We're living in the middle of an apocalypse, and you're concerned about foul language on a podcast. Maybe you need to rethink your priorities. Maybe your life goals ain't right.
Get some perspective is what you're saying.
Get yourself right with Jesus is what you need to do. So,
why, Brandy? You know, Brandy, I usually turn to the Colonel when I have questions of faith. But I'm going to ask you, Brandy, because you're kind of soulless, and maybe you can answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do the people say they want some, you know, that they're God-fearing? Isn't that kind of, shouldn't God be about love? Should we be afraid of God?
That's Old Testament people. Those are Old Testament people. Now, in the Old Testament, God was a vengeful God.
And you're okay with that, then? You're okay with a vengeful God?
I don't care. I feel, you know, I feel like we all have.
You
to
know
be.
What you? You know
you
what
have
you
no
better
preference.
Hope? You know what
whatever.
You better hope, devil?
Huh?
When you say your prayers, if you ever do, and it's probably a good idea for you to maybe pray once in a while, just open up a dialogue of some sort, but. And just hope, devil, that there is not a fair and just God.
You want a God who's putting his thumbs on the scale, Brandy.
Exactly. Yeah, you want, what you want is, you know those people who are, you know, sneaking in under fake IDs, getting their shots when they're not supposed to?
Uh-huh.
When if you, perchance, happen to stumble upon the pearly gates, mm-hmm. don't give them your real name. Act like when you was in college or high school and going into the bars, I hope you got that fake ID still.
Jane Doe.
Just tell them, just.
Wait a minute. No.
Elaine Cruz, whatever. No. Whatever you use. Just give them that name, devil.
No, I have secured my place behind the pearly gates from dealing with the two of you for the past 6 years now.
So are you good. Saying we're a test? You're kind of like Job.
I'm like Job. I am.
She is like Job.
I'm like Job.
Minus the boils.
I'm like Job Bluth. That's what I'm
like. If Job had a podcast.
You're a monster, devil. You're a monster.
Yeah. Well, that's
all right.
Let
me introduce
down on the two
let
of
me,
you.
Let me introduce the lady who is, you know, there have been some problems with the royal family, and, you know, we've got the whole Meghan Merkel thing going on, and so I'm hesitant to, you know, I know you can't discuss a lot of this, Brandy,
uh-huh.
but you've been known, you've been called... Brandy the Benevolent,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know who calls you that.
You.
Well, I don't know why, but no, anyway.
Like yeah.
Let me introduce Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm all right, Timmy. I'm all right. It's, you know, it's everybody's kind of getting through the pandemic best they can, and... So we're all just hanging in there. Gen Xers were built for this shit, so I'm good.
So have you received your vaccination yet?
I have not, because I just became eligible on Friday. So while the two of you have been eligible for quite a while,
they have like a, you know, a clause. Are you in that group for evil people? I thought that was the next group.
Right. I was in the first group. I was in the very first group.
Well, you're
when
essential.
You looked, it was like people 85 and whatever, and then in the fine print, they had the Colonel.
No.
Well, that makes sense. Colonel.
Yeah. For no. So anyway, yeah.
Well, I got my shot yesterday, not to monopolize Brandy time,
but
you
know. Aren't we done with Brandy time?
Well, basically, we're wrapping up. But I got my shot yesterday, so I would like to thank the good people over there at the Cintas Center.
What did you get?
For the Pfizer shot.
Oh.
So, I got mine on Friday, Timmy. I got mine on Friday.
Did you get your shot? Was it Pfizer?
It was the Pfizer one, Timmy, yeah.
No.
I thought maybe they had a special vaccine developed just for the colonel.
No.
Well, they gave me a
it's AstraZeneca.
I'm not gonna say what the sweet lady doing the shots offered me, besides the shot.
A lollipop?
I just took the shot. And
a
went
sticker?
On. So it was a little bit more than a sticker. I mean,
it was absolutely,
you know,
not. Was it a Band-Aid?
A sticker is a euphemism for, you know.
It's not a euphemism.
I would say
for
they
anything.
Did a good did you get it at the CentOS?
You got it at the free clinic.
I got mine at the
free clinic
place right up by my house. So it was. I would encourage everybody who is eligible to go and.
Oh.
Well, we'll get into that.
So it wasn't the free clinic. Wait a minute, it wasn't the free clinic. That's the methadone clinic. That's where you got your shot. Settle down.
I don't know what they gave me.
I used to pick up women at the free clinic, Colonel.
Yes.
You know, a good place is you go to the 12-step meetings for the sex anonymous people, the sex addicts. That is a good place to meet people, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never thought about that. But, you know, they, I don't know what I was going to say. But, oh, anyway, in the CentOS Center, they were very nice, and they had the National Guard. You know, they were organizing it. And I must say, you know, the country is being defended by like 12-year-olds. I mean, they all look so young.
It is. Yeah. They do look young when you see them.
That's because you're very old.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Well, that could be too, Timmy. Well, we're done with Devil Time.
Yeah, we are. That was way more Brandy Time than anyone.
But
you know,
anyway,
when we get reviews, the one thing that we always get. You know, the one thing people always complain about is too much Brandy Time. So,
well, I'm going to Gatlinburg.
Just get on with
this week.
What are you doing in Gatlinburg?
Well, me.
Isn't that like where all the hillbillies go for vacation?
Scaring the bears.
Probably.
Go down and scare bears.
I hope to, but no.
Are you there all week?
No. We're going down Tuesday. We'll be back Thursday night, something like that. Or Friday morning, whatever it is. But me and Noah and Uncle Jason are going to go down, and we're going
nice.
To go to the Titanic Museum, and we're going to go to the Alcatraz Museum.
Yeah, why is there an Alcatraz Museum and a Titanic Museum in the middle of Tennessee? I don't seem.
Yeah,
I don't
not
know.
Even a, not even a creek running through, a couple of little creeks running through the mountains, but yeah.
So we're going to go do that. And
are you going to Dollywood?
I don't think we're going to go to Dollywood. Might be a little cold. I'm not even sure Dollywood's open now, but no, we're going to go down.
I'm sure Noah
spring
is
going to
love that.
Huh?
I said I'm sure Noah is going to love it. Are you taking your good friend Stephanie with you?
No, her kids aren't. She's got her kids. They're not on spring break till next week. So Noah and I may go up and see them.
I do not believe you could bore me anymore. Do you have any more life stories that you
really
can
tell me a story about a dog that barks at a fence?
I thought it was over. I mean, I thought Devil Time was over, Timmy. I mean, what are we doing here?
She sometimes monopolizes the podcast. That's the other comment
Oh my God.
We get that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
All right. Well, Brandy, have a good time in the lovely state of Tennessee.
Well, thank you, Timmy. Fuck off, Chuck.
Don't taunt the bears. Don't taunt the bears, though.
I will taunt the bears if I want. Can't tell
Let
you
me introduce the man who is a best-selling author.
He is not.
He's working on...
Know.
I understand you're working on the audio version of How to Make Love.
I am working on the audio version right now, yeah.
No, he's not.
And after that, Brandy, they're going to have it in Braille for all of our sightless sightless readers.
I don't think so.
I know people are looking forward to that. Now, are you actually recording How to Make Love to a Woman? I know at one point you were thinking about, you know, having some distance from that, thinking about bringing in Nina to do that?
Well, it's going to either be Nina or Morgan Freeman, Timmy.
Yeah, well, those are pretty similar.
We're in negotiations. Yeah.
I'm sure Nina would not be upset if you went with Morgan Freeman.
Well, you know,
I feel like
this
is enough Colonel time.
Nina's people are lobbying pretty hard.
I don't think
they
are.
But go ahead, Timmy. I didn't get a proper introduction, so I'll let you go ahead.
They're lobbying to keep her name out of your mouth.
Brandy kept talking over me, Colonel. I'm sorry about that. But a man who is known... Brandy, in these troubled times, many people look for answers. And when they don't get it, they turn to a man who's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
A man who is he's a ladies' man. He's nope. The ladies' loving.
Nope.
He has been, he's a man of God.
Nope.
He's been called God's own podcaster.
Not by anybody ever in the whole history of the world has he ever been called that. So
the
just
most
get
dangerous,
to it already.
The most dangerous man in podcasting today.
No.
The Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh, God. Dear my...
I'm not good.
What's wrong, no. Colonel? Unburden yourself.
But, Timmy, here's the thing.
Oh.
Okay? And we had this Operation Warp Speed, you know, to get the vaccination going. And it seems that now people are getting vaccinated. The rates are going down. And it seems that sometimes this year, maybe life will return to normal, Timmy.
Well, we're hoping, yeah.
Here's the thing. I've kind of grown to like the social distancing thing, Timmy.
I love the social distancing.
I like social distancing. I don't want people within 6 feet of me. Before I've always lived a life much like Elvis. You know, I bowl at 3 a.m. when the place is closed. I go to the movie theaters. You know, mm-hmm. I like people staying 6 feet from me, Timmy. I like it. I think it's a rule we should keep.
Well, now, you know, and I now don't they want changed people, it to 3 feet.
I know, and now, you know what? That's within touching distance, Timmy. 3 feet is within touching distance. And sure, if you're Brandy, I mean, it doesn't really make much difference because people usually give her a 15-foot radius anyway.
Right.
But me, you know, it's the groping, the grabbing at the clothes. The
Everyone wants to touch the Colonel, Brandy.
They want a piece of the Colonel, Timmy. Nobody. They want a piece of the Colonel. And this last year,
Mrs. Colonel,
you know, it's
doesn't
been a
want
horrific
that.
Year. But I've not been, you know, I mean, there's some fans who just can't, you know, help.
They can't respect your, so you're not, you're saying, so you're saying they can't respect your,
my personal space.
I see.
Right, Timmy. I was built for social distancing, Timmy.
Oh my God.
I was built for it. This was my life.
Well,
and,
I hope, Colonel, that you're able to adjust and that people will respect, you know, respect boundaries.
Respect my privacy and my boundaries, yeah. But I don't see that happening. But it's you know, I'm just saying. I'm glad people are not going to get sick and not going to die. But, you know, how's this impact me is really what I'm thinking about, Timmy.
Well, Colonel, Brandy, it's been, you know, it's been said that the Colonel could have, publicly diagnosed with the COVID. He could be coughing. He could have open sores, and women would still try to grab him. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
No, I don't agree with that at all.
If I had the leprosy, Timmy, people would be grabbing my limbs and trying to get away with one.
Well, if you had leprosy, they'd
it's
be
kind of like
unfortunate.
It's kind of like when John Dillinger died. They snipped off his hair. You know, that's
right. Yeah,
Chuck
well,
doesn't have
John,
any hair to
John,
snip off.
John Dillinger.
Well, I was using that as an analogy.
I don't give a shit what you were doing. I'm just saying. Can we talk about Grace May here for a little bit? This poor girl has been sitting up on my screen just languishing here.
Yes,
well,
let's
you
talk
know what?
About the...
Here's a clue, devil. She's still dead.
Well, I know, but I want to talk about her. I'd rather talk about her than your weird leprosy disease.
How is our... how's Lynn doing, or whatever her name is, your assistant? Colonel.
Lily?
Lily.
Lily doing wonderful. She over here Googling things for me. Just make sure that, you know, I got all the factoids I need.
So does she realize that she's not being paid and that she probably is not going to get any college credit for any of this?
Well, she's a cat.
Oh.
She doesn't really care, but she can work the internet.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, days that, you know, when the devil's going to be in Gatlinburg, if she can't record, Lily...
Step in.
Nobody noticed it.
Well, I'll be back. I mean, I think our downloads would probably soar.
Probably.
When a young factory girl dies mysteriously, Brandy, suspicion falls on her well-connected boyfriend. That's my introduction, Brandy. Your thoughts on that, if any?
That's usually how it works.
Well, let me tell you about the death on Big Moose Lake. Shall I, Brandy?
I wish you would.
All right. Grace Mae Brown was born on March 20th. Oh, it's almost her. She just had a birthday. Well, she's dead.
Yesterday would have been her birthday.
Yeah, yesterday.
You know what I did, Timmy?
What?
Yesterday was Sarah's birthday, and I texted her today, happy birthday.
I saw that. Your daughter, Sarah. Colonel, how can you forget your daughter's birthday when it's on Facebook? It's on the Facebook.
I didn't get on Facebook yesterday, Timmy. We depend so much on Facebook, I just didn't get on it. So I didn't see.
Well,
I got four kids, for Christ's sake. How am I supposed to remember all this stuff?
I'm sure she didn't notice at all. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sarah. I'm sorry your dad is... Yeah. Can't remember your birthday, but I know he's. Well, I know you're important to him.
Yeah, what's Jake's birthday off the top of your head? Come on,
5/15/99.
See, took her 10 seconds.
Yeah, but that's different for women because they always remember when things come out of their vagina.
Not the devil.
Oh my God!
But go ahead.
Well, that's a good one, Colonel.
Is when things go in for a good grade.
All right, we'll change the topic, Brandy, if you'd like. Anyway, Grace Mae Brown was born on March 20th, 1886, in upstate New York. She grew up in a small town called something, South Ossalic. How would you say that, Brandy?
Ossalic, Timmy.
Ossalic?
South Ossalic.
Right. Not to be confused of North Ossalic, which is directly north of.
That was the shady part of town.
Yeah, in upstate New York. She was the middle child and daughter of a successful dairy farmer and his wife.
She was from Chenango County, Timmy.
Chenango County. Mary Ray, one of our listeners, I think she lives in upstate New York, so she would probably... get the reference there. You've been to Chenango County?
Oh, I've been there, Timmy. I've been there.
Did you meet any dairy farmers while you were up there?
Jesus.
There was some milking done. That's all I'm going to say, Timmy. There was some milking done.
You know, there are, and believe me, Brandy, you can trust me on this. There's a category on Pornhub called milking. I'll just leave it up to your imagination what that includes, but.
Lily, don't look that one up. Leave that one alone. Don't look that one up, Lily.
Come on. Oh, my God.
Grace was a smart, outgoing child who loved to sing. I've got written here, Brandy, she loved to sign, but I'm pretty sure I meant she loves to sing. Although, well, I went to a retirement party, and it had the entertainment, and... One, you know, it was like, you know, amateur hour, right, at work. They didn't bring in professional entertainers. It's just whoever had talent. And anyway, they had signing. Well, I thought it was singing. I thought it was a typo. But they was actually signing, which was kind of cool to watch. But they did that song from the Titanic, signing. Pretty cool. Uh-huh. Anyway,
She loved to sing, she loved to dance, and she loved to read. Not all at the same time, Brandy. Come on.
Sorry.
Grace attended grammar school in the village and became a star pupil. She was popular with her teachers and fellow students alike. Grace was reportedly given the name Billy. Her name was Grace May Brown, but everyone called her Billy. They named her Bill. They called her Billy because of her love of the contemporary hit song at the time. Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Can you give us a little bit of Bill Bailey, Colonel, just for a younger audience?
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
There you go, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. Oh, we got some. We tore got some that younger one up, listeners. Didn't you? We tore got some up. Younger listeners that may not have been familiar with the song. So nothing wrong. He's just well, educating. And now
with those two lines, they've just heard the whole thing.
Well, we try to educate our listeners, Brandy. Mm-hmm.
It's a teaser, Devil. I got them searching YouTube looking for more.
So Grace they called her Billy. She often signed her love letters, The Kid.
Oh, my gosh.
After Western outlaw Billy the Kid.
That's just a little much.
She's very clever, don't you think? When she wasn't studying or playing the piano, she would help out on the farm, and she was involved in a lot of church activities. Colonel, of course, Brandy would know nothing of church activities, but you get where I'm
going. No.
On Saturdays, she would volunteer to help residents at the local home for the blind, which, again, something Brandy would not ever do.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway.
Well, if you mean by helping the blind and providing relief for the blind, relieving them of their wallets and purses, yeah, the devil has done that before.
She took him. She was their tour guide. She would take them on tours.
Leave them out in a cornfield.
talk in a Cockney accent and tell them that they're just passing by Big Ben or whatever.
Yeah. If you look to your right.
Good Lord.
Oh, Brandy, I don't know why you are so mean. Anyway, she dreamed of attending college and pursuing a career as a doctor, a path that was open to few young women at the time. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Oh, my gosh. She should have become a doctor. She'd have been in better shape. But go ahead. She probably wouldn't end up dead.
I wasn't going to say anything, Brandy, because, we do not like to talk about people's image. We don't want to damage anyone's self-esteem, but Grace wasn't. She wasn't.
Spit the fuck out.
She wasn't the most... Oh.
Spit it out.
And how do you say it, Colonel? How do you describe a woman?
She was a dumb girl, Timmy. She was a dumb girl.
I didn't want to say that, but.
What is it? Is there any place that states that she was dumb?
No.
Did you read anything that said she was dumb? So she wasn't necessarily dumb. She could have gone on to be Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, but
you
something
don't know
happened.
That. You don't know that.
Timmy, can you tell us? Hey, Timmy, can you tell us what it was?
Well, sure, Brandy. Thank you for asking. Her father was fairly successful. As I said, he owned a dairy farm, so there was a lot of dairy there, Brandy. Cheese and things like that.
Goes against your stance on cheese.
Well, I am against, I am a member of the Anti-Cheese Coalition, ACC. But, Brandy, I like to, I say that, but, I don't want to be labeled, because, there are a wide variety of people in the ACC that have different feelings on things, and we're not a monolith.
So you're not a
don't try to pigeonhole me in with the anti-provolone people, Brandy, like you often do.
I do that. Yeah. I do that. Sorry. That's my bad.
They're crazies. I don't associate with anti-provolone.
Well, you know, I'm a member of the Pro Cheese Coalition, but I do not like the goat cheese people. I find them pretentious.
Well, that's what I mean. Reasonable people can disagree, but you got your goat cheese people on one hand, end of the spectrum, and you got the anti-provolone people on the other. I mean, how can we ever come together, Colonel? Really?
Right. I don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, you can't meet in the middle with goat cheese people.
Well, that's exactly, you know what I mean? It's their way or the highway, Brandy.
Yeah. Try talking some any sense into the buffalo cheese people.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, they can't talk to them. They're way out there. Yeah, they're way out.
Yeah.
Anyway, her dad was a fairly successful dairy farmer. And which, you know, there's a whole, I mean, I know a lot of people like dairy products, but some people are lactose intolerant, Colonel.
Yeah.
What about them?
It's ugly if you run into one of them.
Anyway, he loved to indulge his daughters. So the possibility of Grace attending the university was not so far-fetched, Brandy. Mm-hmm. You like to, you know, squash her dream, but her father was indulgent. He wasn't saying just because she's a woman she can't go to school. Mm-hmm. That's something you might say, but it's not something the Colonel and I would say. Right, Colonel?
I wouldn't say that at all, Timmy. I agree with you 100%.
So he was indulging, and he actually was going to try to send Grace to the university. But that all changed when Grace turned 16. That's when you got to kind of wake up and smell the coffee, Colonel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time to grow. In those days, she should have been married by then, really.
Yeah, should have two or three kids by that.
16 years old, yeah.
Now, anyway, Grace's father, when Grace turned 16, her father suffered a debilitating injury down there on the farm. And her family was soon forced to sell the farm, and the family suffered a lot of financial problems. So a college education was then out of the questions. Your thoughts on that, Brandy, if any?
I have none. He probably got kicked by a cow.
I don't know. I couldn't see any reference of what happened, but I hope you're not making light of it, because it was a life-altering event for...
Have you ever been kicked by a cow?
No.
You have not, Noah. You absolutely have never been kicked by a cow.
So you allow...
You know that he hasn't.
You allow your son
out
to...
of a lineup of three animals consisting of a cow, a horse, or a duck. You've never been kicked by a cow. You've never touched a cow. No. Zip it. Whatever. Okay. Evidently, Noah's been kicked by a cow.
Well, you don't know his life.
I do, actually. I do. So there's that. But go ahead.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Noah, 241 kids. 241 kids.
Yeah, he already knows that number.
So anyway, in 1904, at the age of 18, Grace moved to nearby Cortland to live with her married sister, Ada, and to work in the new Gillette skirt factory. Wonder what they do in a skirt factory, Colonel.
Probably make skirts.
Well, Timmy, no, it's pretty much like where we work. There's work to be done, and you avoid it. You skirt the work, Timmy.
Oh,
it's a skirt. They teach you how to. I mean, the devil's got a PhD in skirting.
Good Lord.
It's where there's tasks to be done, and you avoid it.
I see.
You skirt.
I thought it was like women's skirts or something.
So no, that's a misconception.
Popular if it misconception. Was a skirt factory, then the QA person would be would look up skirts, right, all day.
Exactly. Mm.
Anyway, when she worked at this factory, Grace's goal was to earn some money to send home to help her family pay off debts. So she was a good person, Brandy. I know that you could not relate to any of that. Huh. That was Grace.
Now, this next guy coming up here is interesting because, as I said, I had the three boys, and I've always regretted not naming one of them Chester.
Well, you know, Chester is going to rhyme with molester, and then there's that whole thing going on.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's not a great name, but I always wanted to saddle the boys.
I was listening
names
to
names like Chester and Elmer and...
I was listening to an interview with Amy Schumer, and she named her kid. She just had a kid, apparently, like last year. And she named her kid's first name was Gene. And she gave him the middle name of a comic that she liked, a guy named Attell. And
no,
she said
shut
it was
up.
Since
Shut
she was
up.
Like 3 months into this kid's life before she realized the kid's name was Genital.
That's a good one.
Be careful. Be careful with all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful with the name Ada, too. You don't want to be Louise and Thomas Dick and name your daughter Ada.
Oh, my
Who's
God.
That? Oh, that's Ada Dick.
Yeah. If your last name is Dick, you really have to be careful. I mean,
you can't name your daughter Anita.
No. You got to be careful. Got to be careful. Remember that episode we did on the woman? Wasn't her last name Dick? Evelyn Dick. Remember Evelyn Dick?
Evelyn Dick, yeah.
We said her father was a dick. Her mother was a dick.
Yeah. Her brothers were dicks.
Yeah, whole family's dicks. Chester Gillette was born in Montana, Brandy, on August the 9th, 1883. Chester spent part of his childhood in Spokane, Washington, Colonel. Have you ever been to Spokane, Colonel?
Oh, I've been there, Timmy. I've been there.
Can you tell me once that you went to, you worked some in Washington State for a while?
Vancouver, Washington, Timmy. Vancouver. I worked in Vancouver, Washington.
Are you the Green River Killer?
And they are much better off for it, Timmy. They're much better for it.
Well, Chester's parents were financially comfortable, Brandy.
Yes.
He had the money. But the family lost everything during the Great Spokane Fire in 1889, which we probably should do a podcast on at some point because it's an interesting story. But anyway, when Chester was 6 years old, the Great Spokane Fire occurred, And the fire destroyed much of downtown Spokane and resulted in thousands of people losing their homes, including Chester's family. Of course, this was before, you know, people had homeowners insurance. So they basically lost everything. Now, Chester's family, his parents were deeply religious. Brandy, I know you know nothing of that. That's foreign to you. But
do you really? You don't know if my family.
And you revile those people.
My family could be deeply religious.
Yeah.
Well, if that, you know, there's two things. If they're deeply religious, devil, you know what else they are? Deeply ashamed.
Well, deeply I don't think ashamed. They have to be deeply ahead. Religious for that.
Well, that's true.
Well, his parents, Chester's parents, were deeply religious, and they saw that the great Spokane fire, they took it as a sign that the days, it was the end of days, were near, and they denounced material wealth and joined the Salvation Army. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Was he a lieutenant in the Salvation Army?
I don't know how that works. Because it's like a real army, right? I mean, they don't fight wars or anything. But, they have like a structure like the army, right? There's lieutenants and captains. And
I have no idea.
I think so. Look, I
believe so. Really? It's the privates who get stuck out in the cold outside the grocery store ringing that bell Christmas time.
Yeah, but then if you move
up. So you don't ever see a lieutenant in a Salvation Army doing that. Never. That's just not something that happens. It's below that rank, really.
Uh-huh.
And actually, you know, the Salvation Army, what people don't really know is they were the second squad going in on D-Day, Timmy.
I did not know that. Oh, my God.
Really?
Because they had their little bells.
Yeah, they couldn't. They gave away their position because they had their kettles and bells. Can we move forward here?
Well, I mean, when you're storming a beach, you know, dragging that kettle along, I mean, that's awkward, Brandy.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Anyway, when Chester's family traveled around the United States, I mean, really, why have a... I mean, an army pretty much is basically to fight wars, right? So I don't know why they would call themselves a Salvation Army. But
it doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, Chester
family. Well, they had in 1979, maybe, that the Salvation Army had a big, had a couple skirmishes with the KISS Army, Timmy.
I did not know that.
It was not pretty. Yeah, it was not pretty.
I bet. Nope. You know what? They should have send them to handle unrest when that. What's that church that always protests at funerals? And
oh,
stuff?
Westboro.
The Westboros.
Westboro Baptist.
Now, see, that would be cool if they sent the Salvation Army in to deal with those people. That would be really cool.
Well, you know, I think they should send them to, like, Syria. Because, you know, a lot of those terrorist groups or whatever, you know how it is. You know, you don't make eye contact. You try to make yourself invisible when they're ringing the bell. That'd be a lot less trouble. You put a Salvation Army person on every corner.
So you think they should take on ISIS? Salvation
versus
ISIS.
Not take them on. I just think it would shut them down. You know how it makes people just go around. Everybody would be. You put a Salvation Army collector on every corner in Syria, Timmy, and you ain't going to have no problems there.
But I mean, really, isn't Salvation Army and ISIS kind of basically the same thing?
They basically are. They basically shame you into giving them money.
Oh, Brandy, I wish you wouldn't talk bad about people.
You know what I like is when you go up and you dig in your pocket for change. A woman's ringing a bell, and you got 28 cents in change, and you throw it in the kettle there. And a woman starts ringing a bell harder, like, God damn it, get in your wallet. Come on, God damn it.
Put some paper in here.
Yeah, yeah. Put something in there that don't make no noise when it lands. So,
anyway, Chester.
Aggressive people.
Chester's family traveled around the United States on the West Coast and Hawaii during his adolescence. But Chester, despite his family's fervent religious beliefs, Chester never really took
to the religious aspects of his upbringing. In fact, Chester dreamed of becoming a captain of industry like his successful uncle. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
Okay. Who was his uncle?
Well, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Far from endowing...
okay.
Chester was endowed? Chester was not endowed.
Far from endowing Chester with a sense of higher vocation, the experience of going around the country and helping others left a distaste in his mouth for good works. So he didn't really care for helping people, Brandy.
Well, who among us?
Yeah. That's where you and Chester relate.
As Chester,
we talk about intersectionality. That's where her and Good Time Chester relate.
As Chester would say, "Have a good time have a good time as you can, Brandy." Among his friends, the handsome young man with the devilish smile became known as Good Time Chester. You used to call me Good Time Timmy on the podcast.
They didn't, but go ahead.
They used to. Good Time Timmy. Some got to win, some got to lose. Good Time Timmy got the blues.
That's lovely. God.
Remember that one, Timmy?
I do, Colonel. That was good.
That's Harry Nilsson.
Mm. Well, it's lovely, lovely song. Chester attended Oberlin College prep school here in Ohio, the great state of Ohio. On the generosity of, well, actually I'm in Kentucky, but in your great state of Ohio. He attended Oberlin, and yes. on the generosity of his uncle. He left after 2 years in 1903 because he was bored. And Chester was eager to climb the corporate ladder, Brandy.
And who needs education for that?
So,
quick factoid, Timmy.
Yes.
Quick factoid. Oh, you know our good friend who is, God rest his soul, Todd Portoon.
Yes.
Our county commissioner who passed away.
Lovely guy.
He is in the Oberlin College Sports Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yes, he is.
What sport did he play?
He was a baseball player, and he ran track to me.
Nice. Todd Portoon as a county commissioner here in Cincinnati, Hamilton County. He was a good guy.
Passed away a couple of years ago. Wonderful man, and they named the county building after him. It's now the Todd Portoon building.
So, I was
just giving you some context, Devil. Now you know something new, Devil. When you walk into that building and say, Todd Portoon building, I wonder who he was. Well, now you know, Devil.
I'm aware.
Here's the thing. You're less ignorant than when you walked on to this show, Devil.
I don't think that's true.
So today's a win.
You two, you're depleting my resources here.
Your brain cells?
Yeah, so college, Chester got bored.
He decided to climb
the corporate ladder.
So he decided to climb the corporate ladder, and he left school, and he did odd jobs. Until 1905, he worked in Chicago for a while at a hotel, and it was at that job that he met his uncle, his uncle was his benefactor for his college education, but
he'd never met him.
He had never met him, right? So when they met, Chester worked at a hotel in Chicago, and he met his uncle for the first time. His uncle offered him a job at his skirt factory in Cortland, New York.
Is this one of those things that you just don't put in the script so you can pop it out just at any random time?
Makes me more interesting as a
person.
It
doesn't, though, but okay.
Among the 250 employees at his uncle's plant factory was 18-year-old Grace Mae Brown, of course known as what, Brandy? Who was she known as?
Billy,
because she liked the song, Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey.
We just went over that, like, I don't know, an hour ago.
And anyway, among the 250 employees at his uncle's plant was 18-year-old Grace Brown. And it wasn't long before the slender, attractive brunette caught Good Time Chester's eye.
Did it pop out?
I'm not sure if she slender.
Did he pull a Sandy Duncan?
Take a look. Take a look at her photo, Brandy,
and
you tell me if you think she's slender. I think that's a misnomer, but I mean, I'm not saying that she's overweight or anything. It just doesn't appear slender from her photographs. But anyway, I digress. Exactly how are you looking her up? Exactly how
I am.
Okay. Here. Exactly how Grace first connected with her employer's handsome nephew is unclear to this day, Brandy. We just don't know how they met, but maybe because they worked at the same fucking factory in a small town in upstate New York.
Right. She looks slender.
You think so?
Well, it depends. Like, there's a drawing of her and there's a photograph of her.
So you think
the photograph, she looks slim. The drawing, she looks not slim. Right. And her head looks weird. She should have had somebody else do that. Do that drawing.
You know, if you're if you want some laughs, join the Facebook group, the group on Facebook called That's It, I'm Ink Shaming. They put all these terrible tattoos that people
oh god, people are so stupid with those.
Oh my god, they're so awful. Anyway, that's it, I'm Ink Shaming. It's a Facebook group. It's really funny. Anyway, back to the story, Brandy. Exactly how she, Grace, first connected with her employer's handsome young nephew, the one with the devilishy smile, Brandy.
Good times, yeah.
Is unclear, though legend has it the relationship began when Grace's opal ring slipped off her finger at work, and Chester happened to be walking by. And he stooped down and retrieved it for her, Brandy. He was a gentleman. So other than Good Time Charlie, he was also a gentleman, Brandy. But yet, we like to focus on the negative. You know, why is that, Brandy, that people have to always look at the negative and call him Good Time Chester? What about Gentleman Chester?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Just keep it moving.
All right. Well, now is the interlude in which we change narrators for this podcast, and Brandy's going to talk to you about what happens next in our story.
Well, let's see if I can get through my two pages in under 2 hours.
I feel attacked.
And there it is.
Yeah, I think that was a cheap shot at Timmy, and I don't think he deserved that, Devil.
Thank you,
Carl. Apologize.
Nobody pulled your string, Charles. How about you shove it?
You're just a mean woman. You know that? You're just a mean woman.
Has anyone mentioned to you that you may have anger issues, Brandy? I'm just curious.
I don't have anger issues. I've been sent to sensitivity training as much as Chuck. Chuck and I usually go together. We carpool.
We do. But as you can see... Yes. Some of us actually read the handouts and tried to follow what they said.
I was valedictorian of that class. All right, let's go here. All right, so in any event, the two quickly became romantically involved, Chester paying nightly visits to Grace at her sister's house where she boarded. There they spent hours spooning in the parlor.
See, that's what,
is that what the kids are calling it.
That's how, Colonel. That's how women get their clutches in you. That's how they get you.
They used to call it parloring and chill, is what they used to call it.
I don't know.
When they start that spooning stuff, and then they just rub their little butts against you, Colonel, and then before you know it, you got a mortgage. You got a mortgage, and you got four kids. That's how it happens.
I don't know what happened there. All right. So they're spooning in the parlor, and by the summer of 1905, after fending off Chester's increasingly ridiculous advances for as long as she was able, Grace became his lover.
Oh. So there was pollering and chilling.
Yeah, and she decided to finally spread her legs, Colonel. That's it. That's when they get you.
And you know, Chester was at a disadvantage because that's back before Chester could learn how to make love to a woman, Devil.
But he was Chester is a friggin' dick. So let's talk about that.
You think he had one of those little mustaches that curled and he just played with it?
You know he did, but it grew in patchy, and so he would use shit to like try and color it in because he is that much of a douche canoe that this is what he did. That's exactly what he did.
I think it's her fault for spooning because she was trying to get in his wallet. Whenever they spoon, Colonel, when they rub their butt up against you.
Oh, yes, we heard. Yeah.
I'm just warning our male listeners.
Yes, I
out
know,
there.
And you seem increasingly bitter about that. So why don't you
well,
settle
it really
down.
Depends on if you're the big spoon or the little spoon, you know. If you're the little spoon, you got to watch
Timmy's always
it because,
the little spoon. Yeah. Timmy's the little spoon.
That's why they're trying to pickpocket you.
Mm. You end up in 45 living in a studio apartment. Your whole paycheck goes to Tijuana. Pay for your child support.
Oh my God!
I'm not bitter, Brandy. Go ahead.
I see that. No sooner had they consummated their relationship than Chester, who had previously professed his undying devotion, turned his attentions elsewhere.
Oh, dog. That was like that. Meatloaf song.
Which one?
Blinded by the Dashboard Light, or whatever it was.
Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Perfect. Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Or Blinded by the Dashboard Light, which is a bigger problem.
I like it.
All right. So Chester, as soon as he, you know, gets the milk for free, goes out looking for another cow.
So basically, you're calling her a cow, Brandy, and we... No wonder women have image issues because people like you, Brandy, are
Let's go easy
using,
on that.
Using terms that, like inappropriate.
Yeah. Careful.
Continue, Brandy.
His charm and polished manners, to say nothing of his status as Noah Gillette's nephew.
Oh, that was his
had
uncle.
Had won him. Noah. There's his name. Had won him. Admission to a glittering circle of young people from the upper stratum of Cortland society.
I bet him and his buddies would
about
have
Cortland society.
I bet him and his buddies would drink brandy and sit around and talk about politics
with their little pinkies up with the pinkies in there. Yeah.
But who cares about Cortland society? Well, there was like people in the town. Well, apparently. So he set his sight on another woman who, with the right connections, could help him move up the social ladder. So Chester soon began leading a double life. Fucking jackwagon. Though he still visited Grace regularly as a booty call, his leisure hours were increasingly spent with his new friends, bicycling, playing tennis, and attending their dances and formal dress parties.
I'm guessing he didn't take Grace to any of those events.
Yes. However, satisfying this existence was... Are you goddamn kidding me?
You have a clown car in your living room?
I don't. I have a dog who can't
stand. Oh, that's your dog.
Stand.
That's, what's your dog's name?
Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Yeah, no, everything in my house is fucking working my goddamn nerve right now. What? What's stupid? All right. So Grace grew tired of his bullshit. Especially when in the spring of 1906, she discovered that she was pregnant.
Uh-oh.
So in mid-June, Grace moved back into her parents' home in South Otselick, where... She spent the next few weeks writing desperate letters to Chester. Terrified that her life would be ruined once her condition became obvious, she begged him to make her his lawful wife.
Yeah, this wasn't a very enlightened time in our history.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Make me an honest woman, Chester.
Yeah, oh, Chester, she pleaded. Please come and take me away. I'm so frightened, dear. Despite his declarations of love, however, Chester, who is a world-class dick, seemed in no rush to settle down. In Grace's absence,
in fairness, Brandy, he was good time Chester.
Well, he was. Mm-hmm. That's true. In Grace's absence, he had happily pursued other women, including a well-to-do beauty named Harriet Benedict, daughter of a prominent Cortland attorney.
Oh. So Harriet has the right connections.
Yes. Well, Chester's a dick. So, despite his declarations of love, Chester seemed in no rush to settle down. And in Grace's absence, he happily pursued other women, including Harriet Benedict. And when Grace got wind of his dalliances, she threatened to expose him as a heartless seducer.
Well, there's nothing. If you're a guy, Brandy, the last thing you want to happen is to be exposed as a heartless seducer.
I would guess so. If her life was ruined, she wrote, his would be too. Her warning seemed to work. In early July, Chester invited her to join him on an Adirondacks vacation, a trip that would culminate in their wedding, or so Grace assumed.
Yeah. He's stepping up. Maybe he's stepping up, Brandy.
You know he's not. Now stop it. Stop it. On the brilliantly sunny morning of July 11th, 1906, the couple arrived at the Glenmore Inn, a picturesque hotel on the shore of Big Moose Lake in Herkimer County. The couple checked into the hotel as Carl Graham and Grace Brown. Police later stated that Chester, in under an assumed name, Carl Graham, to match his monogrammed luggage.
Yeah, you know, this is a warning to young ladies. If you check in a hotel and your guy uses a pseudonym, it's probably not going to be, you know, a good thing.
Probably not. You should
if you sign in a hotel and your boyfriend signs in as John Q. Public, Colonel, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, Dave does that sometimes only because he doesn't want to be seen with me. Let's see. Okay, so Chester carried his suitcase and tennis racket and escorted Grace down to the water where they rented a rowboat for the day.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely day.
Why is he taking his suitcase down to a rowboat?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Robert Morrison rented out two rowboats on Big Moose Lake. On the morning of July 11th, Morrison rented a rowboat to Chester.
Okay.
Vacationers saw Chester and Grace boating and even going onshore for a picnic earlier in the day. When the sun set over Big Moose Lake, Chester and Grace, did not return the boat.
No.
Initially, Robert Morrison assumed the couple misjudged the size of the lake and ended up at another resort. But when they didn't come back on the second day, he formed a search party. The party
That seems like a reasonable step to take at that point.
The party searched the lake by steamboat and eventually found the little rowboat overturned. A young boy noticed a peculiar...
That's ominous.
Yeah, that is ominous. Yeah.
A young boy noticed a peculiar mass at the bottom of the lake and brought it to the attention of the crew. Searchers pulled up what they believed was garbage to find it was the body of a woman. They immediately called the authorities.
Well, that seems like an appropriate step after you pull a body out of the lake.
Well, and police responded right away, and a short investigation revealed the couple to be guests at the Glenmore, registered as Carl Graham of Albany and Grace Brown of South Otslick. Searchers dragged the lake under the assumption that a dead man was in it, but turned up nothing. Upon informing the Brown family, well, they were looking for him with a steamboat. So, I mean, nothing says stealthy and undercover and kind of like not making a lot of waves on the fucking you know, lake, like trolling around on a steamboat, for fuck's sake.
You know, you know, that's what they had. You play the hand that, you know, you're dealt. Well, right, Colonel?
I wouldn't have used a steamboat. I mean, I think I would have done something a little more subtle.
You know, maybe I like to think canoe. I like to take the ocean liner.
Right. Why didn't they take a fan boat out there? That would, doesn't make
sense. Or maybe like one of those little paddle boats, you know, where you just paddle.
Oh, where you sit and pedal, yeah.
Yeah.
Upon informing the Brown family, authorities learned that Grace had not spent time with anyone named Carl Graham. Duh. She did, however, associate with Chester Gillette. Good time, Chester. And a search for the dipshit ensued.
Well, let me say this. As a murder goes... This wasn't, I don't think this was, I mean, other than using an alias that matched his luggage, I'm getting a feeling that Chester didn't really put a lot of thought.
Well, I mean, he must have thought about something because he took his luggage on a canoe.
And his tennis racket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't, whatever, idiot.
Good time Chester, they call him.
Yeah, good time Chester was a fucking moron. Who's out there taking his fucking tennis racket onto a fucking lake? Is he going to row with it? What the fuck is he trying to do?
Well, that's why they call him Good Time Chester.
Well, and why is he taking his suitcase in case he needs six, you know, changes of clothes while he's out there?
May get wet.
Two men reported encountering a strange man in the woods around the lake. He wore a suit. Well, there you go. And asked him how to get to Eagle Bay, a spot near Fourth Lake.
Officers. Yeah, I mean, if you're out hiking and you run across someone hiking in a suit with a...
If you're hiking in a suit, nothing looks suspicious about that at all, ever.
The tennis racket.
Right. Right. The only thing would have been better is if he'd been out there in a tux. So
I think they should have looked at it when they started to search, just... They should have seen if she was tied to the railroad tracks, Devil. Wouldn't you think?
I agree. Because, you know, I can see him like, what was that guy's name? Stanley Whiplash? Or what?
Smedley.
Snidely.
Snidely. Snidely.
Yeah. Out there just twirling his mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. So officers pursued.
You know, that's pretty fucked up. I mean, that is pretty fucked up when you think about kids' cartoons that they're laying a woman out on the train track.
Dudley always came along and got her.
I know. And he's, you know, he has his little dimple on the chin and all that. But what would happen if he was, you know, like he was constipated or he had diarrhea or something? He's late.
What? Well, why is that the reason he's late?
I'm just saying.
Why would you come up with either one of those reasons for him to be
late?
I'm
just saying.
Maybe he got lost.
He had a maybe bowel movement.
Back in the day, they had lots of intestinal problems.
Well, yeah, yeah, but I mean, maybe.
Historical fact here, Devil.
Maybe he was trying to shave his butt chin and didn't get there in time. Why does it have to be he was constipated or he had diarrhea?
Well, Brandy, maybe one of those. Maybe he had IBS. I mean, it's...
Do you know Thomas Jefferson had chronic diarrhea?
Shut
up.
Could have been as well.
Cartoon characters can get irritable bowel syndrome, too. I mean, it's not limited to humans.
Okay. So,
but
officers,
you know, it would have been, okay, just imagine how graphic it would have been if that train ran over the little woman on the train, you know.
But it didn't because it's a cartoon and it didn't.
I'm just saying it's Dudley pretty fucked Duright, up.
Dudley Do-Right saved her. And I can't stress this enough. Who gives a fuck right now? We're not in any way talking about Jezebel or whatever that bitch's name was that they laid out on the track all the time. Sell the fuck down. We're talking about Good Time Chester Whiplash here.
All right.
Hiking through the woods in a tux. So let's settle down.
All right.
So they took the same wooded path and they found Chester at Arrowhead Hotel, where he had spent the night socializing, laughing, and even bragging about a drowning stupid fucker back at Big Moose Lake that was not yet reported.
Well, I guess
he
figured
dumber
no
than
would.
A sack of hammers.
No one would question it.
Yeah, no. In the morning, District Attorney Ward, accompanied by Undersheriff Austin Clock, approached Chester as he sat on the veranda with Dorothy, Rose, Blanche, and Ma.
I wouldn't take any job that had under.
I know, no. Right? Under. Yeah.
Deputy Sheriff, maybe. Undersheriff, it sounds like you're possibly an alternative lifestyle couple, and you are...
You think your job is to, like, give blowjobs or
you
something?
You are the low one on the power dynamic.
Yes. So they find Chester on the veranda with the Golden Girls, and Clock laid a hand on Chester's shoulder. Have you noticed in the papers that Billy Brown has drowned on Big Moose? Asked the undersheriff. No, is that so? Chester was trembling because he's an idiot and he should be trembling.
Well, he's obviously given this some thought. How's he? How he's going to react?
What am I going to say? What's going to happen? Yeah. Yes, Clock said in a low and ominous tone, and you're under arrest for murder.
Dun, dun, dun.
Doctors. Yeah, exactly. Doctors, including Quincy, M.D., conducted a post-mortem examination on Grace's body. They learned that she was around 4 months pregnant and that she was alive when her body entered the water.
Well, I'm glad they didn't. They didn't do a pre-mortem exam.
No, they did not. They didn't. Before she took her last breath, Grace suffered a beating that caused terrible bruising on her face and resulted in her death. This was no drowning. Chester was asked to give police a statement, and he gave them finger guns and said, maybe she just partied too hard. That's what Chester did.
I can do it.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Sure. This, I can't stress this enough as I read the next sentence, that Chester is fucking stupid. Okay, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when he's giving police a statement, he readily admits that he was with Grace when she died. And initially, he said that she was despondent over the pregnancy and beat herself around the head and neck until she died and committed suicide by beating herself. Well, because that's what people do.
Well, I mean, it's not one of the more popular ways to commit suicide, but sometimes people do suicide by tennis racket.
You can't question a commitment.
I mean, he was cooperating. I mean, I think that's the important.
That's the important thing. When confronted with the fact that Grace died from a beating to the face and head, Chester told a different story. In the second story, Chester claims he stood up on the boat to reach his hat. What the fuck, Chester? When he did, the boat capsized, beating her around the face and neck, and threw them both into the lake.
Wonder where his hat was at, that he had to reach up to get his hat.
Fucking
Chester. You think he had a hat rack in that canoe?
I don't know. I mean, was it hanging off a tree? What was happening? And again, Chester, when the canoe tipped over, did it beat her around the head and face? I mean, like, what exactly happened there?
Sounds Chester. Like you beat her with the canoe.
Well, truth is stranger than fiction, Brandy.
Oh, I know, usually. But anyway. So, Charles, would you like to bring us home, so
you can
to speak?
Continue. You've got me fascinated.
Okay, then. All right. Chester, being the stand-up guy that he is, did not attempt to help Grace. He was afraid that she would panic and drag him under as well.
Well, I mean, that's a
he
fair...
He shouted...
That's a fair, sure. fair position.
It's a legitimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He shouted at her to grab a hold of the boat, and when she did, it turned over again, and Grace went under and never resurfaced, beating her around the face and head. That damn boat. Fuck, it could have been, you know what? It could have been the steamboat that ran over her and as they were looking for her.
That's what I was thinking. She got caught up in those little wheelie paddles and blum, yeah. blum blum blum. Yeah.
But okay. So this idiot investigate, and these cops, let me tell you, are fucking. They're just fucking
top
on
notch.
The game
top
right
notch.
Here. Top notch. This might have been the FBI. I can't even tell the difference. Investigators immediately saw holes in Chester's story.
What?
Get out. Well, they were driving their trucks through them.
They're questioning Good Time Chester's story.
I know. He gave them finger guns and everything.
Yeah. Ironclad alibi.
Yeah. First of all,
walking through the woods playing tennis.
There's nothing more ironclad than saying you were there when she died. I mean, mm-hmm. What are they going to say? No, you wasn't. I mean,
well, so first of all, the other hotel guest who saw the couple said that Chester was being a dick to Grace during their stay, although they could not hear the topic of discussion. Chester also paced the halls nervously before the boat ride.
Well, that's
Chester's
suspicious.
Chester's clothing and his fucking luggage, which he claimed to have retrieved from the water, were completely dry. Because
yeah.
he took his luggage, as
that's
one
shady.
Does.
Hmm. Seems shady.
On a canoe, he took luggage. Took his Samsonite on a fucking
well, he
canoe.
Didn't know how far he was going to row, in fairness. He might have been
oh
rowing
my
a far
God.
Distance.
Yeah, maybe Chester's, they were going to go right out, you know, Lake Champlain, right out to the Atlantic, and maybe all the way over to the, you know, the UK.
Well,
you don't know.
Chester's version of events didn't explain why he took such an unusual path to Arrowhead Inlet. Or most importantly, why didn't he bother to report the incident to anyone? Or, second most importantly, how the fuck did you die? Could she die from... you know, blunt force trauma to the head and face from a fucking canoe. But that's okay. They're on their shit.
I got a quick question for you, Devil. Is that your son right there in the general vicinity while you're using such vile language?
Fuck off, Chuck.
You're going to, now when he starts saying those words to you, you're going to say, don't talk like that to your mother.
Well, if he does that, he won't have teeth to talk to me like that anymore. So just settle down.
I'm just saying.
I know. Thank you for the parenting advice. There.
Lead by example,
Susan
Randy.
Smith. Settle down.
Lead by example, Devil.
Mm-hmm. Chester's sensational trial began on November 12th, 1906, in Herkimer, New York, before Justice Irving R. Devendorf. The prosecution.
You run with scissors across the living room in front of the boy.
All the time. Usually, I'm chasing him. The prosecution proposed a theory that Grace's pregnancy and insistence upon marriage drove Chester to murder her. Seems solid.
That seems a
but
reach.
Without a
that
confession,
seems a bit of a reach to me, Colonel.
But without a confession.
It ain't like she had the remote and wouldn't give it up. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's a legitimate defense.
I mean, maybe it wasn't Good Time Chester's baby. You don't know.
So they
you
didn't
know,
have
Chester
a confession.
Didn't,
oh my God!
Chester was not such a good time guy.
Well, clearly,
I mean, if going out and getting beat with a canoe is the idea of a good time, but
no.
I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like to me, you know. And I'm, you know, call me old and dull, but it doesn't seem like a good time getting beat with a canoe.
I call you.
Maybe
old
he
and
was
dull
into
all the
that
time.
Though. You know, maybe he was into being. Beaten by
what?
Factory workers.
Okay.
Hey, if you were like a Dom Colonel and you had subs, wouldn't you like have them write you checks all the time and give you money and stuff?
I would. Yeah. Cook for me. Do my laundry. Fold my laundry. I don't mind doing laundry. I don't like folding laundry. Fold my laundry. Paint my house.
Because you don't have to take it to the creek and beat it against a rock. You put it in the fucking machine and you push a goddamn button and you all think that you've done something. Oh, look, I did two loads of laundry today. Who gives a fuck? Did you dry them? Did you fold them? Did you put them away? No, you haven't done shit. So settle the fuck down. Now.
You're a harsh judge. No. You're very angry. You're a very angry person, Brandy. Have you had any counseling? Have you and Dave went to like couples counseling and the therapist tell you that you're wrong?
For what? No. No, no, no. No. Well, I pay the counselor. She will not tell me I'm wrong.
Just saying that you seem to have a lot of hostility toward men.
There does seem to be a lot of hostility. And not even just towards men, just toward...
No, it's towards you two.
The universe.
Men, women, children, pets.
Oh, okay. Dogs, puppies, puppies.
Fish. All right, so... But without a confession or a witness, District Attorney Ward needed to gather as much circumstantial evidence, and there was certainly no shortage of that. Other hotel guests who saw the couple said that Chester, again, was being a dick to Grace during their stay, although they couldn't really hear him because they're really evidently not good at dipping in on people's conversations. Chester, again, also paced the halls nervously. Ward wondered, why would an innocent man check into a hotel under an alias? Grace should have wondered that, too. When Chester rented the
rowboat, maybe he had multiple personalities. Maybe it's a disorder. Well, you ever think of that?
I don't know. I didn't. Because I didn't write the fucking story, so I didn't think of that. When Chester rented the rowboat, he took his tennis racket with him, which was in his possession when he was arrested. He even hung on to the murder weapon. Are you fucking kidding me with this?
Maybe he was at a tennis rack. I mean, a tennis
It's probably
match.
Like dripping blood, hair hanging off of it, and he's just out there playing tennis with it. Because he's an idiot.
No sense getting rid of a nice... tennis racket. Those things are expensive.
Well, it was most likely, according to the coroner, it was most likely the murder weapon.
I would think you'd have to get it restrung after.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, if he was rowing with it, maybe he needs to, you know, next time bring his ping pong paddle and row with it. District Attorney Ward...
Yeah, if he used a ping pong paddle, it'd probably take him a lot longer to kill her, I would imagine.
Well, because you don't get the wind speed.
What? Yeah. 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 You don't. You have to use a lot more force.
Uh-huh. So District Attorney Ward presented Grace's fetus as evidence, worried that the defense might deny the pregnancy.
See, the how do they do? I mean, do they have the fetus, like, hanging upside down? Or I mean, how do they bring that?
I bet it was in
court?
A jar. I bet it was in a jar.
Formaldehyde.
What's his name's penis?
Sure.
You know, the monk, what's his name, Colonel?
Rasputin.
Rasputin, yeah, yeah. His penis is in a jar.
Mine was bigger. Still is.
So the courtroom was aghast, and Chester's lawyer,
well, yeah,
Mr.
they're
Charles
bringing in
D.
the
Thomas,
fetus, holding it up by his feet or something.
Well, this is what's messed up. So he promised that Grace's condition would not be disputed because her pregnancy had no bearing on the case. I think you're off base there, guy.
Well, I mean, if you remember, he said. Chester said that she was distraught because of the pregnancy. So he wasn't disputing the pregnancy. So it was just, I think it was unprofessional for the prosecutor to bring in the fetus by holding it up by its feet to the courtroom.
Well, this guy is really fucking stupid. So the defense put forth the scenario that Grace was so distraught that she ended her life. Gillette, this dumb bastard, testified under oath that Grace jumped in while he sat at one end of the rowboat and it caused it to capsize. Mr. Thomas had each of Grace's love letters to Chester and he read them aloud. Instead of finding Grace suicidal, the court empathized with her condition. Jurors, lawyers from both sides, and Grace's family cried through the readings. Even Chester shed a tear as he listened. Fuck you, Chester.
Poor Chester.
In the end, the jury believed the story put together by the prosecution. Chester enticed Grace into the boat with his luggage and the tennis racket with promises of a romantic day, with the tennis racket. He brought with him a suitcase and a tennis racket, which is not being disputed. Winchester found a private place out of earshot of other vacationers. He brought Grace ashore. Chester beat Grace with the tennis racket, ultimately killing her. He then dumped her body into Big Moose Lake and made his escape through the rugged wooded trail to Arrowhead Lodge. He arrived there bone dry, suitcase and tennis racket in hand. The murder of Grace Brown was brutal and thoroughly premeditated. After 4 hours of deliberation, the jury found Chester Gillette guilty of first-degree murder. Justice Devendorf sentenced him to death by electrocution. Chester Gillette was executed on March 30th, 1908, in Auburn Correctional Facility by electrocution. The story became the basis of Theodore Dreiser's novel, An American Tragedy, and the award-winning 1951 film, A Place in the Sun, starring Elizabeth Taylor and Montgomery Clift.
All right.
Thank you very much. What a dumbass.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if I put in here because I mean I try to tie all the ends up before, but
tie up the loose ends, Timmy.
Yeah, the one point that I'd want to make is that when they left the hotel, they didn't pay the bill. Did we mention that?
No.
So
shit, right there.
So they left the hotel without settling up, and I don't know if the hotel ever got their money.
Well, I mean, they're both dead now, so I guess it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it seems that that the hotel was a innocent victim in all this.
Well, exactly. Malarkey.
Shenanigans.
Brandy, what's all your final thoughts of Grace Brown and the death on Big Moose Lake?
I feel bad for her, but my God, she fell for a complete douchebag.
What's your thoughts
that.
On?
We've all done it.
What's your overall impression of Good Time Chester?
Fuck that guy. We've all dated. Here's the thing: we've all dated a Chester. We've all dated a Chester that was just completely not great for us. Complete douchebag. Whatever. We've all done it. So I mean, you know, I feel bad for her.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on death at Big Moose Lake?
You know, Chester could have just... I don't agree with what Chester did, Timmy. I can't say that I really...
You can't justify
that. That's nice.
I can't. It's not something that I would ever say that is the right thing to do. You know, he got to grow in the family way. He didn't have to marry her, but he didn't have to beat her with a canoe either. You know, I mean, it's just...
Well, he beat her with a tennis racket.
And he's named Good Time Chester. So you go out to a lake and you got a canoe, you got a lunch, you know, picnic basket.
You got luggage. You got stuff.
Maybe you're going to have a good time, right?
Right.
But Chester right was no name. Good Time Chester, Timmy. He was no Good was Time not. Chester.
All right.
It was I just don't think that, you know, he should be able to keep that name. I think it should be erased, really, from history.
So this podcast, we do not condone first degree murder, Brandy. You know that.
Correct.
I just want to say that if you. If you look for you liked our podcast, you like listening to it, we appreciate if you leave us a review. But don't come here if you're looking for us to justify first degree murder, because we're opposed to it. We have taken a moral stand against.
We have taken a stance on that
premeditated murder.
Right.
We would like to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. That's patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or, Colonel,
Or just the tip, Timmy. Just a wee little bit.
The Colonel is going to read the names of some really wonderful people who support us on Patreon. And we thank you.
I am. Goddamn right I am. Let me see. Let's start here with, Aaron Kunkelmola, Timmy. What do you think about him?
I think he's
Shelby, that's a new one. Katie Gunkel.
We love our new supporters. Downs.
Tessie Poor, Kate Byer, Karen Alden, Gina Green, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Wright, Adam McWaters, Elaine Baker, Alexandra, Alan Cox, Ali, Alicia Mincy, the Already Gone podcast, Timmy. Amanda
lovely,
Christine.
Nina.
Lovely
instead.
Nina. Yes. She classes up the place here. Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville, Anna Gerline, Andrea Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angelo Santos, Angelo Villafane, Anna Garrett, Annette Petre, Anon, Becky Trainer, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Callie Jones, the Bloody Murder Podcast, Timmy.
Callie Jones. Callie, we need to... have you heard from Callie lately? Callie, if you're listening, reach out to us.
Yeah.
Have you heard from
say
her?
Say hi.
I haven't heard from her.
I haven't. She posts on Twitter every now and again.
Oh, does she? Okay.
Yeah.
I like Callie. She's funny.
And on Instagram. So let's see who else we got here. Timmy, Christine Hauer, Cindy, Clark and Diane, the Comeback Podcast, Diane Student, Erica Kinney, Fiona Cripps, Gina Green, Jay Cleveland Payne, who has a number of podcasts that you should check out, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Jason Dykes, Jennifer Zavoda, Jessica Greener, Karen Charette, Kimberly Stroop, Kimberly Smith. Right here in Cincinnati, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris. Let's see, Michelle Johns, Paula Climes, The Pleasing Terrors podcast, Timmy.
That's a great podcast.
Robin Sherrard, Context and Clarity, one of my other ones, Timmy.
Yes.
Ron Monasterio, Ruth Whitfield, Sarah Bloom, Shannon Arnold, Timmy. The lovely Shirley Strap, who I hope my song cheered her up. Stephen Potts, The Vanish Podcast. Of course, Ben at They Walk Among Us. Ben Fitton.
Ben and his lovely Tyrone. Wife, Rosanna.
Yep. Tommy Lane is in my ear.
Tommy Lane. Aloha, Tommy Lane.
Aloha, Tommy Lane. Viv, Tracy Smith, Rebecca, Jen Lee, Allen, Whitney James, Bo, Lion, the Lionheart Walters, Rudy, the Wonder Dog, and the lady who's going to be a little bit disappointed because there's only one body in this one. You know she likes a high body count, Timmy. Dottie does.
Yes.
But in fairness, Dottie, she got beat with a canoe. She got beat to death with a canoe. Now, what podcast are you going to turn into and hear about somebody getting beat with a canoe, Timmy?
This is the only one.
The only single one.
And did you say the lovely Lady Beverly? Maybe you did.
The lovely Lady Beverly, and of course, who else, Timmy? Favorite fake Irishman,
lovely
Leanne Flanagan.
Leanne, I've got my shot.
Lovely.
So I'm hoping to see Leanne sometime this summer.
So yeah, that would be wonderful.
If they let me back in the UK.
I don't think they will, Timmy. I don't think they will.
Well,
I think the UK is still a little bit ticked at us.
Yeah, the whole
they call
whole
this
Meghan
whole
Merkel
COVID
thing or something else.
Well, they call this whole virus. You know, they're calling this the New York virus, Timmy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, over in Britain, they're unhappy about things. They think it originated here in a lab down in Area 57 down in Mexico, New Mexico, Timmy.
Wow.
With the UFOs.
Well, I will go and see if I can meet with Queen Elizabeth and see if we can get
go
that
do
off.
Some diplomacy over there and see if you can figure out. I'm not really sure what Meghan's mad about. I didn't get the seat of Oprah interview because I was lined up for Oprah the next day, so I didn't get to meet him.
Oh, I see. So
I was supposed to go on after Meghan and Harry, but they went long. And so I had to come back the next day.
Well,
but
I look forward to seeing you on the
show. If you can straighten that out, Timmy.
I will definitely do that. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Have a good day.
Bye, Brandy.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.